And then we have a question from Deanna. She is saying, my 2E son wants to listen to music or a podcast while he does his homework. He's in sixth grade, but it takes him 4 hours or more on homework each night. He works really hard. He needs the Chromebook for parts of his homework. So what can she do? And we've heard similar questions to this where kids are insisting they can multitask. They're insisting they can. So any advice for her?
So in my practice, I get asked this question rather often. What happens when my brain is going faster than the work that's in front of me? The kids feel like they have a little bit of downtime when in reality you don't. Your brain is just overwhelmed with information and a lot of it's not relevant. So they tell me that if they're listening to music or have some other distraction, they can tune out all of the other noise that's coming into their brain at that moment by having music or listening to a podcast. So I talk to them, well, what's your productivity rate? So as for a lot of 2E kids, they love talking about their productivity rate. I can get so much done if I listen to something. And it really depends, because all the research that I've read one way or the other says if you listen to something with words in it, at least your language processing center has to devote some part of its, you know, effort towards whatever that material would be. And sometimes when you're listening to music, you know, part of your other brain or, you know, creative reasoning isn't impacted too much, but just a little bit. So it's more for me about giving that child autonomy to problem solve for themselves, how much time that they would like to spend on this task with how much they'd like to spend with their coping skill, you know, attached to this task. And then other times you'd even invite your child is, let's figure out, like, can we just record it one time and see what it's like observing you? Because, you know, as a parent, I just look in the door every once in a while and see, it looks like you're not that productive. It looks like you kind of got too into that distracting activity and it's been a half hour since you got any work done. So as a parent, I think that's too long of a gap. So the more you have your dialogue with your child about how much of a break or how much of a distraction or how much it impacts your productivity, you're really imparting those skills of self-regulation as opposed to setting up an arbitrary limit that, as an, you know, an expert would say, or, you know, some other article that you read, it's not really about the time. It's about your ability to self-regulate while in front of the task that you're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. And so you're saying that, because we hear about kids doing this all the time and saying, no, I work better like this. That is a coping strategy that they're actually using to try to quiet, you know, that part of their brain that's thinking very quickly, or they're like a filter almost.
That is the answer that I get from the majority of kids. Sometimes it's a different answer. They'd say, like, you know, whenever I'm, you know, listening to this podcast, I'll never get to listen to it any other time. You make me go to school. You make me travel home. You make me do dinner. I'm doing a sport. I really love, you know, listening or, you know, watching the streamer. And this is the only time I get to do it. So it's fun for me. So I won't really want to do that work because you already got enough out of me today. I want to negotiate that I still get to do this fun thing while doing something that I don't want to do. That's a lesser or less common answer, but the majority is usually it helps me focus.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't heard anyone explain it that way, but I mean, it makes sense. I just hear kids tell us all the time, well, I, you know, I do better, or, and even though the evidence clearly states that they don't. So I really like that idea of documenting and recording.
And experimenting and exploring. I think, you know, that also is what our executive function does. We try something and we evaluate, how did it work? Do I need to change it? And so, as you know, as you said, as opposed to putting this arbitrary limit on them that they're going to then feel really negatively about, you know, let's check it out and see, you know, because if your goal is to be really productive, let's see which way it works best for you.
And it's that holding off of judgment of whether it's working or not. It's really hard as a parent as well. So like with so much of a, you know, advocacy on STEM kind of experiences, that's the scientific method. Or even like, you know, a lot of like advertising companies do A/B testing. Like, we'll try it this way, we'll try it that way. So whenever you have your child just understand those concepts of experimentation in the scientific method, it doesn't matter so much that night whether they got their homework done or not, but they really learned how to evaluate things. And whenever you just really improve your reasoning skill set, you likely have less experiences where you are arguing with your child or trying to assert like your, you know, authority that I know that this doesn't work, so you need to do it my way. Because anytime that you do that with a child, you really lose their trust but sometimes you gain compliance and sometimes you really need to gain compliance, but hopefully it's as infrequent as possible.
Pamela is asking, do you know of any therapists in the San Fernando Valley area? So outside of the Orange County area, particularly in the San Fernando Valley area, that you could recommend or that we can post later?
Yeah. I don't know of anyone specifically in the San Fernando Valley area, but I do know that recently one of our local therapists, Steve Kafari, got certified in collaborative problem solving and offers telehealth. Like for myself, I'm booked until January sometime. But I know like there's other therapists around that have availability and have experience with collaborative problem solving, which may be ideal.
Okay. And then I have a lengthy question. It is about video games. And I'll kind of paraphrase from Facebook. Mom is saying, the question is, how can we as parents tell whether or not a video game is a passion or it's like kind of tending towards like OCD? Mom is kind of worried that her son is exhibiting OCD behaviors. What's happening is they, you know, he has to, he's 14, has a phone, has to keep it out of his room at night. And so he leaves it in the living room, charging iPad, Chromebook, everything like that in the living room. And they've been noticing that he's been getting up in the middle of the night, sneaking it and playing in the middle of the night and kind of will obsess on just different elements of the game. Every conversation that they have, he relates to a video game, and that's kind of his only point of reference and his only way to relate to anyone. He'll steer the conversation in that direction. So she, you know, is kind of worried about seeing these kind of obsessiveness with video games. And then also the thing that worries her is that they're trying to regulate it. And, you know, he's been failing his classes and they took away access to his phone, and he's been, her word is catatonic, distraught, like just absolutely does non-functional, will not eat, will not, like, just cries. And so just, she's asking for some advice. You know, is this, you know, a mental health issue? Is this, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder? She doesn't know.
So I'll give you the short answer, and I'll give you, you know, something else if the parent wants to go more on a deeper dive. So for any behavioral addiction, the main things that you want to look for is your impact on academics, your impact on socialization, and your impact on overall energy levels. And she referenced all three of those areas are impacted. So it would be more in line with that is probably like the most likely explanation for it. But there's also other ways where kids do have their particular interest, and it is something that they're able to do within a reasonable amount of time that doesn't impact those three areas. I'm also very weary, or, you know, kind of concerned that there are a few gaming companies out there that particularly kind of set up the game that you need to check in regularly. If you don't have your streak, then, you know, you lose out on whatever the bonus would be. So any kind of like the terms grindy. So grindy games, I'm not a fan of, where you have to spend hours on it and keep clicking up and building resources. Anytime you need a streak, anytime that if you get X amount of whatever, a certain level, and then you get some kind of reward, all of those, you know, games help with long-term planning and then, you know, distress tolerance and patience, but they really impact you that you deprioritize everything else in your life to be able to achieve that goal. So even in the most unhealthy situations, I see some positives, but it doesn't outweigh the negative. If you're failing grades and you're catatonic without that game, chances are the child doesn't identify other ways to be able to self-regulate or to feel that same emotion. So under kind of like the platform of emotional-based planning, it's really important to ask that child is, how can you get that same emotion that you did from the game? What identity did you get from that game? And whenever they start talking about what that is, you can then help them reason through other ways that they could get it without that game being necessary. So I can probably go through a list of different games, but I won't even go there because then people are like, well, what about this one? Our kids are defender.
And
grindy, and ask your kid, is this a grindy game? And they will definitely tell you one way or the other.
Are you serious? Wow. There's a whole nother world out there that I'm not even
a whole different language.
Yeah. So interesting. I know we just always hear video games, and I hear, you know, a couple of terms every, but I had no idea. I did know that there, definitely they're wanting to keep users engaged with the game. I've seen a ton of, we've had a ton of students that just like go on Twitch and just like want to watch other people playing games, you know, like that's kind of a socialization. And I definitely understand that, but yeah, this obsession, we do hear parents say that a lot. It's like, it's kind of like they're obsessed and they can have no other pattern of thought outside the game. So that's really helpful advice for helping parents know whether or not they should get help for that for their child.